Now football is a pleasant game, played in the sun, played in the rain, and the team that gets me excited, Manchester United, Manchester.
Hello and welcome to Devil's Play, a podcast about Manchester United women which flip-flops weekly between joy and despair. Just 6 days on from Wembley heaven, it's back to WSL hell as imperious Chelsea dismantle a shambolic United at Old Trafford to clinch the title in our backyard and celebrate their manager leaving and ours staying. As an old man sitting in the stands once said, football, bloody hell. In this episode, we'll relive a sickening 6-0 defeat, call time on this confusing season, take a few deep breaths at the prospect of Skinner staying on, and round up another busy week in the world of WOSO. That's all coming up in today's Devil's Play with me, James.
And me, Stevie.
We can't start another podcast with the tired old cliche, what a difference a week makes, can we?
Well, it's when it's true, it's true.
It really does feel like a week on, week off, doesn't it? Like Liverpool, horror show, Wembley, joy. And now here we are again.
At least it's over.
At least it's over. Yeah. Let's take solace in the fact.
Absolutely. I'm taking it.
Over.
I'm also taking solace in the fact that I couldn't actually watch the match yesterday because I was at work. So you're going to have to do a lot of talking on this podcast whilst I just cry.
It was very, very clever of you to avoid watching that game.
For once, a Saturday working schedule was playing in my favour.
I was also quite grateful to you because we knew you were working and so we decided not to go to this game a few weeks ago. And I didn't really want to go without you, and I'm really glad that I didn't.
It would have been a really sad and lonely trip home, wouldn't it?
Such a schlep back from Old Trafford to South London.
Oh, man.
Shocker.
I'm actually working with a City fan at the moment as well, and I got the notification of kickoff, and then 2 minutes later, got a notification of Chelsea 1-0 down. I just looked over the room across at her, and her head was in her hands. And I was just like, I'm sorry.
Did it at least make it better for you that you could watch a City fan go through a terrible afternoon?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. It was very confusing. It's been very confusing. It was lose-lose yesterday, I think, for United. Any permutation of what happened, we weren't the winners. But 6-0? Did it have to be that bad?
It was...
Chelsea could have still won the title without being us 6-0.
Yeah. It was all a bit much. So next weekend, we're going to do one final pod for the season, which will be a review of the whole year. We'll look back and try to draw some conclusions and maybe outline some hopes for the future. And we're also going to do our own Devil's Play end of season awards.
Are we?
We are.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
You'll be sent like a questionnaire the forthcoming days.
Great, I've got loads of time coming up, so I'm absolutely delighted about that.
And you can pick your, you know, player of the season and goal of the season and away match of the season. And, you know, it'll be really fun.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So we're going to do that next weekend. So we're going to try really hard not to reflect on the whole season, but just concentrate on the game yesterday. But it is kind of hard to review an absolute shellacking at the hands of a very clearly vastly superior team without feeling a little bit existential, isn't it?
So tell me this, what went wrong?
Everything.
Okay.
And that's the end
of
today.
The podcast.
Right, so regular listeners will know that I love a bet, and yesterday morning I spotted that Chelsea were 1-2 with the bookmakers to win yesterday's game, which for those not okay with betting odds means that for every £10 you put on, you would get £15 back. That's quite a decent return. I never, ever bet on Man United to lose. Never have done, never will. So I didn't take the bet, but I was sorely tempted because I thought it is absolutely nailed on that we lose today. I thought the game state with Chelsea needing to win the title and there being nothing really at stake for us, plus it coming a week after the highs of Wembley, and after I'm sure the players have rightly celebrated, it just felt like a Chelsea win was inevitable. And I could totally have handled a kind of 2-0, even maybe a 3-0 defeat. The problem was not that Chelsea won, but that they ruthlessly exposed everything that I think is wrong with this Manchester United team. we just looked completely outclassed in almost every area of the pitch.
Yeah, I've watched the highlights this morning and through my fingers, basically. And it just looked like the ball was bypassing every single Man United player on the way through to a Blue player, and that was that, through on goal. Mad.
Yeah, I mean,
every shot on target they had in the first half they scored, is that correct?
That's what I'm sure that is correct. They are obviously a better team than us. There's no question they're better resourced. And we've talked constantly during the season about how terrifying Chelsea's bench is on a weekly basis. I mean, Lauren James didn't even come on. He's one of the best players in the world. They didn't even need her yesterday in winning 6-0 at Old Trafford.
Sam Kerr's been out half the season.
Yeah, I mean, they're diminished by injuries and still immensely strong. It's not that. It's just they were so brilliantly coached. And once again, I thought we were not brilliantly coached. And our players are far, far better than the team structure allows them to be as individuals or as a collective unit. And that we were just shredded yesterday by a vastly superior team under the auspices of a vastly superior coach. And that, I think, is cause for concern.
Certainly a few days after he's been given a contract extension.
Yeah, I saw quite a few people tweeting, I'm glad that Dave Brailsford and Sir Alex Ferguson and others in the stadium saw that. And I understand that sentiment with regards to the FA Cup final and that brilliant success not overshadowing the fundamental problems that lie at the heart of a team who, let's not, you know, forget, exactly a year ago were playing in the final day of the WSL season with a genuine chance of winning the title over Chelsea, and who have fallen catastrophically from those heights to where we were yesterday. In fairness to the players, I do think they came out and tried. Like, it would be better, I think. We joked, and we said, no, they're all going to be hungover. You know,
yeah.
They've been on the piss all week celebrating, and yeah, they won't necessarily turn up. But sadly for them, they did turn up. I thought they worked really hard.
They were just not as good.
They were just totally outclassed.
Yeah. I mean, some of the goals I saw were embarrassing, I have to say.
Let's quickly go through them, shall we?
Okay.
So the first thing to note, I think, was that Chelsea set up in this absolutely rigid formation. It was really interesting to watch. Every time United had the ball, they formed this kind of diamond in midfield with Ramirez and Macario as a two, Gurwrighton and Rissanen-Kanterid wide, and then Lloyd-Potts and Cuthbert as a two. So across the pitch, they just sort of formed this exact shape every single time. It was so rigorously coached. And Emma Hayes had spotted what we were going to do in advance and ruthlessly exploited it. So the first thing that we did was that we went to a back three with May, Emily and Hannah, and Jade pushed on.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea got the ball and popped it into the space.
Wow, there was so much space.
Behind Jane.
Wow.
And Gurwrighton ran onto it, whipped over a sensational cross, I have to say, an incredible cross.
It was very similar to the goal that we scored in the first minute of the game against Chelsea only a few weeks ago that we won.
It was.
Apart from the fact that we capitalised on a mistake that day, and yesterday it looked like they had free reign.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a problem because we've often praised that tactic in the past of either Meyer or Jade stepping up, and we move to a back three and we try to overload the midfield. I think it was a fool's errand against Chelsea in that game on a big pitch at Old Trafford. It just made us look incredibly vulnerable. And they sort of took it in turns. So sometimes we were playing a three with Jade, Millie and Hannah, and Maya went into the midfield. Sometimes Jade pushed on and Maya sat back. But any time we went to a three, Chelsea exploited us out wide with wingers, you know, old-fashioned wing play.
Yeah.
And frankly, bullied us through the middle. And Ramirez is a battering ram. What a fantastic player. I remember ruefully back in January doing a podcast where you said, I think we should sign Myra Ramirez. That's who will solve our number.
And a week
problem.
Later, she was in a blue shirt.
Yeah,
I remember that too.
Talking of Ramirez, the second goal was largely down to her and exposed once again so many of our frailties Mary Earp's goal kick into the centre circle. Leupholz leaps above Katie Zellum and Lisa Nelson and wins the header.
Looked like she wanted the header more than just, both of them.
Just wanted it more. Myra Ramirez rolls Millie Turner absolutely emphatically, and Ritten Canrid gets in behind Blundell and
passes it into the net. It was quite similar to Lauren James's third goal at Stamford Bridge, wasn't it?
It was.
Winning that header in midfield and straight through. Then that's straight through.
Yeah, it was. I hadn't thought of that actually, but yes, I mean, we have seen, unfortunately, versions of that goal. The
exact thing before.
And it again exposes a thing we've constantly said, which is no slight on Katie Zellum personally, but she's just not a six.
No.
And there was a moment in this game, I can't remember when it happened, but Zellum picks up the ball in midfield, skipped past one player and was kind of lining up for a shot on the edge of the area. And out of nowhere comes Erin Cuthbert and crunches the tackle, takes all of Zellum, all of the ball, and Chelsea counter. And in that one moment, I think we saw the difference between a genuine aggressive six and Zellum, who's doing a really good job of trying to be one in a team that fundamentally doesn't have one. The third goal was Myra Ramirez absolutely doing Millie Turner again and then cutting back to Nushkin, who just passed it into an empty net. That cutback goal we've seen many, many times, but in this instance, it again exposed our defensive frailties by pulling everyone out of position and just meaning it, you know, you could sort of pass through us. And then the fourth goal,
just before half time,
was a catalogue of errors again. Lisa Nelson passed the ball for some unknown reason to Ritten Canrid, who ran down the right, cut back to Ramirez, who sort of did a little dance past Nelson, who'd tried to get back, and Hannah Bundell, and wallop. So that was the first half. There's not much else to report, really. We just got torn apart. I think Lucia Garcia is worth a mention because she played like a woman possessed.
Aggressively.
So aggressive.
If all the players could play as aggressively as Lucia Garcia, we'd be much better as a team.
I think that's absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. But she really, I thought, you know, I can't really blame anybody. I don't think people, it wasn't like people didn't turn up. Rachel Williams barely touched the balls, couldn't really do much. Tooney couldn't get into the game. Mallard couldn't get into the game. I mean, I'm not sure Mallard touched the ball in the first 15 minutes.
Wow.
Even once. Zellum and Nelson were just ineffectual. You know, it wasn't lack of effort. They're just nowhere near as good as Chelsea's two.
Mm-hmm.
And we're completely Boston outclassed, and our defence were just torn to ribbons. So it's hard. It's not a blame game. The other thing that the TV focused on, which would make you laugh, was the camera got hold of a United shirt in the Chelsea end. And the Sky commentators, very brilliantly, as we always do, were like, why are they there?
In Old Trafford. In the away end. At Old Trafford.
And then the camera moved and found another United shirt. You're like, these are tickets sent to Chelsea, sold through the Chelsea ticket office.
That is why baffling. It's also not that hard to register on the Man United website for tickets.
No, and I get that, like, maybe it's a group of mates who are coming up from London and one of them's a United fan. Just sit in the United end and then meet up afterwards.
And cry into your beers.
Or if you're sitting in the away end, maybe, like, don't wear your shirt.
Yeah, don't wear a colour.
Oh, it's been one of the themes of the season. Anyway, at half-time, Hannah Bundell got hooked for Aoife Mannion. I mean, Hannah was not having a great game, but nor was anybody. And Aoife was no better in the second half.
No, well, that was it. Was it the fifth goal?
That was the worst one.
That was, I mean, it took Chelsea about three attempts to get it in, but we didn't clear it. It's crazy.
You know that?
That was so bad. That was very bad.
Program from like the 50s, Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
Where they like cause havoc with, and it's silent, isn't it? But it's all like, and then they like smash into things.
Yeah.
And basically, it was like that. I mean, it was just a shambles.
It was rough. It was rough, I have to say. That was a rough one to watch this morning.
I watched a mate's 9-year-old in an under 10s game yesterday, and it looked like that. It's that level of like chaos, just everybody like trying to boot the ball.
Bad times.
Oh God. There were some Skinner subs. Jace came on, Hinny came on for Malland, Lisa, and then Gemma Evans and Keats came on for Jade and Rach Williams. The players leaving the pitch looked frankly delighted to be getting out of there.
I bet they were.
And the players coming on looked a little
really
bit
sad to be coming
a little
on.
Bit gutted to have to come on. Nobody made any difference. And I mean, maybe I just found myself slightly pleased for Fran Kirby.
I know, it's a weird one that, isn't it? Because she's been such an influential and fantastic player for women's football. And in her last game for Chelsea, she scores a goal. You can't be pleased. The nature of the goal was outrageous. It travelled so far through so many red shirts and didn't get cut out. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. Losing 6-0 at Old Trafford is embarrassing. I believe it's our worst ever defeat in the WSL.
Is it really?
I read that somewhere. I haven't
done
any
that's true.
Statistical analysis to prove it, but I read it somewhere. And it was a big day for United. You know, we were parading the FA Cup at the end of the game on our home ground in front of lots of dignitaries and a big crowd that would have been a lot bigger, I sense, if the game had meant anything. But by the time they took the trophy around the pitch, most people had left. It was
they just looked so dejected
stadium.
As well, didn't they? It's not pretty scenes.
I really felt for them. You know, as I say, I don't really blame the players. I think all of our weaknesses were ruthlessly exposed, and we were forced to listen to Chelsea fans singing Championes at Old Trafford, which is
I cannot believe that in a game against Chelsea, who were out for blood yesterday, let's be honest, they did not like losing to us at Lee Sports Village a few weeks ago. And it was, they needed to win and they needed to make sure the goal difference was better. So they were out for blood. Why would you play the tactic of someone going into midfield? Why wouldn't you play Hayley Ladd, who is much more of a six than anybody else on our team? Why wouldn't you play Zelemon Ladd to sit in front of a back four and just try not to get walloped?
100%.
Just don't get it. It's like, it's where insanity lies. You've got to play the team you're playing. You've got to play for the team you're playing against. And all teams are different. And Chelsea certainly set up differently yesterday to they normally do because they knew how to get us.
Yeah,
that's coaching.
Totally. I agree. I don't know why you wouldn't play a really solid back four and plug the holes in front of it with Hayley Ladd and try and withstand what was always going to be an early blitz. And see if you can work your way into the game. The irony is, of course, that one of Skinner's greatest achievements of the season was the game against Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final at Lee Sports Village, when he absolutely did set up the team to play the opposition. So I don't know why he completely abandoned that idea. But as has so often been the case this season, we were watching a team that were extremely well coached against a team that are not particularly well coached. And that was the difference.
Mm-hmm.
At least City didn't win the league.
And shall we wrap it up there?
Thank God for that. Okay, that's quite enough about that game. It was a sad, sorry state of affairs, and you did extremely well to be working during it. I, out of dedication to this podcast, sat through all 95 gory minutes.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
What goal was it that you texted me saying, do I have to keep watching? Was it number five? I think it was number five.
It was five, because it was straight after half-time. Yeah. I thought at least we can, you know, reset at half time and just try not to make this embarrassing. But then, I mean, that is one of the most shambolic goals I've ever seen. So, other things we need to talk about. Mark Skinner has been given a new contract.
Great.
Doesn't that fill you with
joy? Moving on from that.
What I will share is that Chilly Flaherty, of all people, who rarely says anything that I agree with, and mostly says things that I violently disagree with, said on a podcast I was listening to that the issue with Mark Skinner is that he doesn't suit the fans. And I actually thought that was quite astute, that regardless of the debate about his achievements on the pitch, a big reason for not wanting him to stay was the mood, the atmosphere, the sense that he does not connect with or represent the fan base.
Absolutely true. Spot on.
Surprising insights from Jenny Flaherty. Yeah. But I think that's right, isn't it? It's
just totally right.
Like it's not the right fit. And it just feels a bit like, oh, God.
It's a slog. Feels like a slog.
It's a slog.
Yeah.
We need a change to be inspired.
Absolutely.
Well, there we go. I think we just got to get on with it, don't we? I mean, there's no point in waging a campaign against Mark Skinner right now. He's signed a contract, so just got to...
Let's see what happens in the summer. Let's see what coaching reinforcements he can get in, because obviously he works better when he's got elite coaches around him. And maybe he can identify that as being one of the problems of this year. And let's hope for a better next season.
Nice. So post FA Cup, we were bemoaning the lack of coverage. Thanks to Natalie, who recommended the podcast, The Offside Rule.
The Offside Rule. I really loved it.
Which was great, wasn't it?
It was really great.
Some proper tactical analysis of the FA Cup final.
It's fantastic.
The star of that show was Mark Parsons, the former Netherlands coach.
Not the new Man United coach.
Which is a shame, isn't it?
It feels like a shame.
We both listened to The Offside Rule and came away from it going, wouldn't it be great if Mark Parsons was the new manager of Man United?
It sounded like he knew what he was talking about tactically.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's worth a listen for anyone who is craving some proper expert analysis of the FA Cup final. Mark Parsons provides it on The Offside Rule, which was not the case on Counterpressed, which is generally a podcast that I enjoy listening to, but Counterpressed devoted an hour-long episode to the FA Cup final, the first half of which they spent talking entirely about Tottenham and dissecting why Tottenham lost the game.
There was instead of dissecting why Man United won the game.
Right. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. They did have the good grace to mention that Ella Toon scored a good goal. But then there was an ad break and I was like, okay, surely now they're going to talk about United. And they did. They introduced the segment on United by saying, winning the FA Cup, despite being good, will not cover the fact that it's been a terrible season for United, and then proceeded to talk about all the ways in which United are terrible. And they got through the entire hour podcast without mentioning Lucia Garcia.
Which is extraordinary.
Incredible, isn't
considering it? Considering she scored two goals and was player of the match.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Didn't mention her name once.
Well, there we go.
The hate for United is real, folks.
True story.
ABUs are everywhere. Other news this week, the England squad was announced.
It was announced, thoughts? Yes. Still quite confused how Maya Letizia doesn't get in. She's on standby, but confused by that, as always.
So confused.
But otherwise, I thought it was pretty standard, pretty straightforward. Great to see Millie Turner in there again. But what else to say? Good call up for Aggie Beaver-Jones in the position that Rachel Daly has left absent. But other than that, Were there any surprises?
Not really, I don't think so. No. Nice to see Grace Clinton retained though in that squad.
As always, come home, Grace.
Arsenal have announced that they will play their home games at the Emirates.
Fantastic news. Really, 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 really good news. And I really hope that other WSL teams follow suit.
Yeah, they are annoyingly the absolute market leaders in promoting their women's team.
Only going to see a surge in Arsenal women's supporters, which I don't know that they need anymore. But it's really great. And it does mean that for the other teams in WSL, they'll get a great away allocation and have a nice day out at the Emirates.
I'll just take the Ineos spot that the Emirates is full when Arsenal play there and do a quick back of a fag packet bit of maths and go, oh, maybe we should do that. We could sell out
some
Old Trafford
money to earn
12
here.
Times a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's been a couple of retirements. Fran Kirby, we mentioned earlier, and let's not talk about her again because she plays for Chelsea.
She's not retired, though, is she? She's just
leaving Chelsea. Yeah. But the big surprise is it a surprise? Viv Miedema?
I don't think it is a surprise. There's been murmurs about it for a while, hasn't there? And there's clearly some kind of rift between her and Jonas Eidevall going on. There's that weird footage that I only saw in the last week of her seemingly getting ready to come on the pitch as a sub and him pushing her away and then her turning, looking really, really angry and not coming on as a sub. I think that happened a few weeks ago. I did read something about it, but I hadn't seen the actual footage. So it feels very much like Jonas has said no. So there's no contract extension for Viviana Miedema. and she will leave and she will go somewhere and be brilliant. So more fool you, Arsenal. She's only 27. She's at the peak of her powers.
I suppose it's too much to hope that she buys a one-way ticket to Lee.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, I don't think. City are the ones that are in for her, eh?
I know.
But you look at her goal involvement stats, and it's basically won a game, maybe even more than that. My maths weren't mathing very well when I saw them, but her stats are unreal per game.
Come on, Viv, come to United. It's a great place to be.
We do need a number nine.
We win every week. It's never we're really competing at the top of the WSL, and you have a great fan base that will sing your name loudly. There you go. Hope she's listening. That'll do, will it?
Yeah, let's go out in the sunshine.
We'll be back next week with our last podcast of the season, which will be a review of the season, and you will find out who Stevie has voted as player of the season, which I'm sure you are all waiting on.
I know that because I did actually vote online.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't vote online, although I privately voted in my head.
Okay, good. And did your player win?
We'll find out next week.
Okay.
Reveal who our players of the season are. Let's not give it away. Okay. No spoilers. We'll record and release that next weekend, and then we'll take a couple of months off away from football because God knows we need it.
Yes, we do.
Apart from the Euros. God. It never stops. It never ends. Please leave us alone. Thanks so much for listening and struggling through our review of one of the more disappointing defeats of the season. Please subscribe to the podcast so you get every new episode on whatever platform you listen to us on, and you get next week's episode direct to your feed. You can find us on socials at Devil's Play Pod, and we would love to hear from you. Send us questions, ideas for what we should be talking about, or commiserations at having sat through that absolute shocker of a game yesterday. Come on, United.
Come on, United.
If ever they're playing in your town, you must get to that football ground. Take a lesson, come to see. Football taught by Matt Busby and Manchester. Manchester United. A bunch of bouncing Busby babes. They deserve to be knighted.